From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. Jeffrey Wright will make his weekly scheduled appearance on the show as we discussed off-brand couture fashion and more on the podcast. NFL draft tonight, Ole Miss LSU baseball tonight as well. You know, the last time Ole Miss and LSU opened a series on draft night, Neil, you were in Chicago.
Yes, I was.
I did not watch much of the Ole Miss LSU game that night. Ole Miss did win. I remember that, but that was 2 years ago, and for some reason the Tigers were in town then too.
That's true.
By a coincidence. So draft night tonight, Ole Miss
LSU. Hoping my night tonight is a lot less eventful than my night
700-ish days ago. Yeah.
That sucked.
I just now kind of made that connection together, but anyway. The Oxford Exxon Podcast, every single day, brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Bottomless refills, 49 cents. You can just jump in. Always have a fountain drink at your disposal. Large one at that fact, 49 cents. Also, maybe a daiquiri is a little more your flavor. It is getting close to the weekend. 6 different flavors of daiquiris available at the Oxford Exxon. As little as $3 for your choice for that. So check them out. If you're coming into town today, maybe you want to grab some ribs. Before the game, after the game, just call ahead or just stop by. They'll be ready to go. They'll wrap them up and hand them to you. Lunch plate, lunch specials, $4.99 as well. 2 sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. And to get to the Oxford Exxon, you need a vehicle. Maybe a new one from Clark Ford is what you're looking for.
And if you want to get one of those, and you do, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. No haggling, no hassle, right to the bottom line. You get your quote. It's up to you then. You can shop it, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, any of our family of podcasts, $500 off your bottom line, 662-257-1900.
So, Ole Miss LSU baseball tonight in Oxford. Ryan Olenek is questionable for the weekend. I'm pulling up the quote now so I don't misphrase this. Mike Bianco said yesterday the results were that he had a slight posterior labral tear. There's a full spectrum of where do you go from here, but being a non-throwing arm and there's no other damage to the shoulder, it should just be rehab and strength, and is he capable of playing? How's his strength? From yesterday to today, he's made gains. We're hopeful that he has a chance to play this weekend. So Mike Bianco there on Ryan Olenek, who is hitting .479 in SEC play. He's also the hardest player to strike out in the SEC, and he's currently carrying a 19-game hit streak. Tim Rowe and Nick Fortes have been the other right fielders this season for the Rebels. So maybe Cooper catches and Nick plays out there. Maybe they play Tim Rowe out there. I don't know, but either way, that's what you're looking for this week. With Ole Miss and LSU.
How long is he out, do you think?
I think he plays next weekend for sure. My gut says he's out this weekend, but I have no real reason for that, just kind of what I think.
Scale of 1 to 10, him being out this weekend is how big of a detriment to that team?
It's baseball. I don't think one guy is just, oh, my God. But it's – other than a starting pitcher, it's the one guy you wouldn't want to lose. Probably. It's a 4.5.
Okay.
5.
So 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most players wouldn't even register as a 1 or a 2 or a 3, so that's substantial in that regard. I mean,
this is Mike Bianco's fault, right?
He slid into a base and it was
Yeah.
If he had pulled him out of the game sooner, he would not have been able to slide into the
base.
Well,
that's what Mike exactly.
LSU, as previously mentioned, it's in my notes on the front page of RebelGrove.com. They are 2-11 away from Alex Box this season.
2-11.
2-11. Mm, yeah.
It's not good.
2-10 on the road, and they lost a neutral site game to somebody. Maybe it's an alternate home site game for someone, but either way. Away from Alex Box was the way to phrase that. So we'll see. LSU's not the typical LSU. They're not as good. Offensively, they still can hit. They run pretty well. Pitching has been a bit of a mess at times for the Tigers. So we'll see. I don't know. But nonetheless, Ole Miss number six in the RPI as of this morning. 32-10, 10-8 in the SEC, 9-9 for LSU in the SEC. One back. There is a complete logjam in the SEC. Five teams separated by one game. State at 8-10, two back, and then Alabama. Pretty bad at 5-13 in the league under their first year head coach. Not a surprise there. So, and I think they actually started like 2-1 or 3-1 or 3-2 or something, and then just it's kind of going downhill after that. So Ole Miss and LSU in Oxford, 7 o'clock tonight on SEC Network, 6:30 tomorrow, and then 3 o'clock on Saturday. That is ESPNU. So two games nationally televised. Middle game is on the internet, as always, with SEC home games and all home games at SEC stadiums. So, yeah, I did not make that connection, Neil. I didn't realize where you were 2 years ago, because it was – that stuff popped up with the gas mask at first, and then we just kind of were looking around at the press box going, is this real? What's up? And then
yeah.
20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour later, the messages start popping up, and you go, oh, my. And
oh, yes.
I don't remember if you called me or you just sent me a text, and all it said or you said was, I wouldn't worry about the game much right now.
Yeah.
That was kind of it.
I think I sent you a text that basically said, hey, I know there's a baseball game going on, but there's not.
Well,
basically it was my way of saying
I was on the phone with you or other people the whole time during the game. And it ends, and Ole Miss wins and whatever. And, I mean, typically a Friday night or Thursday night, LSU, Ole Miss home game, 10,000 people. It's pretty wired. But by that point, everybody had kind of figured out what had happened. It was strange. It was a dead silence kind of toward the end of that game. Everybody was kind of politely cheering but not really cheering. They were more focused on things going on
yeah.
9 hours away. At the moment, it was similar to – I mean, it's really my best comparison. It was similar to when an away team wins a series on somebody else's home floor, even though the game was at home. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It just this sort of, yeah, that was going on. Kind of Patrick Reed winning the Masters, just sort of, oof. And,
yeah, I can remember we were on the phone still like at 3 in the morning, and yeah. At some point I said, who won the game? And you're like, oh, I missed one. I was like, oh, good for them. It was like, oh, it's totally irrelevant at that moment.
Well, and the question that I still have no answer to, so I walked down and I guess I have an answer now. I walked down and we're about to start interviews and Mike looks over at me and he goes, so what happened? And I went, how long you got? Like, because I mean, I think he's noticed something around him is going on, but.
Yeah,
he doesn't know.
He's been locked into a game, yeah.
Yeah, so he walks over and he goes, so what happened? And you're like, well.
A little bit.
Yeah, you'll hear about it later.
Yeah.
That off-staff meeting next week will be a little more of a doozy.
Yeah.
So.
You're going to have a compliance meeting next week. It's going to last a little while.
Yeah.
Your week just got screwed.
Other podcasts coming out this week or have come out from MPW Digital. We've got a soft verbal here in a bit. Eric Bossy with Rivals.com. We're going to talk basketball recruiting. Also a mailbag with Mr. Russell Johnson will be out here in a bit. Neil and Jay talked about what on the greatest pod.
That's a hell of a good question. We talked about the NCAA thing. We talked about Jay's daughter getting her driver's license.
Is she driving the Camry hybrid?
No, she's driving another vehicle.
Okay.
And he had to go to Selma to get
Are there not car dealerships in Montgomery, Alabama?
No, he had to go to Selma to get her license because Montgomery, the computers were down. And so they went to Selma, and I was telling him that a lot of really famous people were born in Selma.
How'd you know that?
I just happened to know. There's a long list of very, very...
influential people.
Very influential people.
Including yourself.
Mia Hamm, me...
Mia Hamm is from Selma.
She is.
Is she?
She was born in Selma.
Well, okay.
But she didn't ever really live in Selma. But you don't have to live in Selma.
Are you from where you're born or where you grew up?
I don't know.
Technically, from means the beginning.
Then if that's the case,
right?
I am from Selma, Alabama.
You've never said that in your life, though.
No, I've always thought I'm from Ruston. because I grew up there. But you're right. I lived my first 2.5 years in the state of Alabama.
Oh, you were that even that old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Roll damn tide.
If you hadn't moved, instead of being Mr. Bearcat, you'd have been Mr. Whatever is in Selma.
Whatever Selma High School is or whatever. Yeah.
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 Okay.
It would have been me and Ben Obamanu.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah. Ben was from Selma. Yeah. Is from Selma. I think Ben's still with us.
Made a lot of Ole Miss fans happy one night.
He did.
Man.
That was one hell of a drop.
How do you drop that? Even looking back, it's been 15 years.
Yeah. 15 years this fall.
15 years later, and you still watch it and go, wow. I think that was the moment where you go, yeah, Ole Miss is winning next week because, by God, it's just this is what it is at this point. So, you know. And then
they didn't.
No.
Yeah.
Kicking and whatnot.
Sports are funny.
Also, since we had been exhausting too much golf on this here show, Jeffrey Wright last night pushed an episode of a golf podcast. I'll just be kind of frank with everybody listening. It's on the Oxford Exxon feed currently. We'd love for you to give a listen. It's one of those deals where we kick it out of the nest and see if it flies is our goal right now. We've got some pretty good guests lined up. I think Jeffrey and I have enough contacts and connections in the golf world to bring you with a lot of background music from Neil McCready.
My bad.
You're fine. Some good thoughts, some good guests, some good stories, and we're going to kind of see where it goes. So in the first podcast last night, we talked to Sam Burns. Sam went to LSU. He's from Shreveport, somewhere over in Neil's neck of the woods. He has 4 top 20s on the PGA Tour so far during his inaugural season. He's already won on the web. He was the #1 junior in the country or the world or something when he was younger. He's played final rounds with Tiger Woods and Patrick Reed in the last 4 to 6 weeks. And he was in the web event here in Mississippi last week. So Sam's going to be a name to know on the PGA Tour, kind of already is. A very, very talented young kid. He won the Nicholas Award. He and Brayden kind of split all the college awards last year as he went ahead and made his pro move while Brayden's still in school. So Sam Burns, on the first edition. We're probably looking at weekly is kind of what we're thinking here. But let me know. Send me some tweets if you approve and you listen, and I would appreciate it.
I think it's a good idea.
We'll see. It's there. We'll see. I'm optimistic. You know how this thing goes. I mean, you need listeners, and then you need someone to believe in you advertising-wise.
How it goes. I also know that advertising on our network of shows works. Keeping it real.
Yeah.
It works. We were doing podcasts before podcasts were cool. And if you have a good product, it works. And in our business, you're fools not to sort of branch out a little. You cannot stay in your narrow little lane. It won't. It's just not smart.
Well, I mean, for all the jokes inside, I do give Yahoo and Oath or whomever, Rivals, a lot of credit. They do allow us a lot of flexibility for our product.
Sure.
Complete flexibility for the most part. So, I mean, that is a huge positive that, you know, if somebody sees something being successful and you work for them and wonder whatever fashion, and they go, hey, where's the pie here? And no, it's been a separate entity.
No, they've allowed us to say it's our pie.
Yeah.
Good on us for being entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
They benefit from it some.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to Jeffrey here in a minute as well on this show. We're going to talk a lot of draft. What are you thinking for tonight? Are you a draft guy? Are you watching the draft? What are you doing?
I'm normally not – well, I'll be driving this time. I'll be almost there. I'm normally not really into the draft. I'm really fascinated by the top of this draft. Once they get past about 8 picks, I'm good. But I'm interested in the top of this draft. What Cleveland does at 1, what Cleveland does at 4. What do the Giants do? You know, do you trade out of that pick? Who do you trade with? What does Buffalo do?
We've got to do a social experiment this year and get you a team. At least sort of kind of get you to kind of root for someone.
I know I want a team.
I mean, it doesn't have to be instantaneous first love at first sight. Just find something interesting and see if it sticks.
I
don't know how. I don't know who yet, but
I've tried with the Colts a little when they had Andrew Luck because I really like him, and then he got hurt.
I think if the Saints would suck, I could get you in.
Yeah.
You have a weird bandwagon thing, though, where with them being still in their window, you have a hard time jumping on.
I catch myself cheering for them.
Yeah.
And then I get mad at myself. I feel guilty for cheering for them. Because when I was a kid, it's a true story. When I was a kid, they sucked. But they were the only team that you could really watch in North Louisiana. KNOE, the CBS affiliate, we saw the Saints every week. And they were bad. Really bad. But Archie Manning was their quarterback. I didn't have any Ole Miss ties. My dad got a master's here, but I grew up cheering for Alabama. So Archie Manning being the Saints quarterback, the Ole Miss portion of it didn't mean anything to me, but I liked him. And so when I played flag football, I was the quarterback and I wore number 8 for Archie Manning, but I didn't cheer for the Saints because they were just too bad to cheer for. They were just too bad to cheer for. And the Cowboys were obnoxious because everybody liked the Cowboys. And I didn't like their aura. Like, just milk and cookies.
Who's the obnoxious now? Is there one?
In the NFL?
I'm a little bugged by Steelers fans in the South for some reason.
A little. Yeah, it bugs me some.
But that's younger fans. I kind of give passes to the older ones because they were good. And I mean, your kids, whatever.
Yeah,
that's not
they were
deal.
Really damn good when I was a kid, yeah.
I think had the Saints won one or two more Super Bowls, it would have been ridiculous. Just not even ability to function around these humans down here.
Yeah.
The Saints win in 11 when they get beat in San Francisco and you won 2 of 3. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Or this last year if they'd won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough loss.
Yeah. That's what I got asked last week. How many games are Saints winning? None. Zero. Never winning another game again.
I don't know. I want a team. I think sometimes, well, you ought to just cheer for the Bears. You like to go to Chicago.
That makes a lot of sense, honestly.
The Bears make a lot of sense.
You kind
of
like Trubisky.
I like Trubisky a little bit. So I'm trying that a little bit.
You do kind of need a team and a market you're already familiar with. That's easier than going, hey, I'm going to go cheer for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I can't do that. Their uniforms are too bad to cheer for.
You like Indianapolis. You like the Midwest. That had a chance.
It had a real chance, and I love their uniforms.
Yeah.
Love them. God, their uniforms are just pure sex.
But the Browns suck. You're annoyed by the Bengals.
And I can't cheer for Cleveland.
Just in general?
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't – the Indians thing and stuff, it's just –
You won.
I know, but it
– You won, and you like the team.
I do, but I can't – nah. Trust me. It just doesn't fit.
Why?
Because they're really good, and there's a chance that could happen again, and I can't be cheering for a Cleveland team.
You would feel weird if you had, like, Browns gear and then the Indians are in the World Series.
Yes, that can't happen. And I don't really like the Cavaliers. I love LeBron. He's great, but I don't like the Cavaliers.
Okay. You want some Twitter comedy before we go to Jeffrey this morning?
Yeah.
So, Jeremy Danner.
Never heard of Jeremy Danner.
He's an ambassador brewer for Boulevard Beer.
Okay.
He's got a verified Twitter account.
Okay.
I love, let's see, Pit Bulls, Beer and the Royals. Very big Royals fan, apparently.
Okay.
All right. When I heard the garage door open 8 minutes ago, I ran and hid from my family to be funny. They haven't started looking for me. This is both disappointing and hurtful. So as his family was coming in, his car's there, he just goes and hides in the house. They're still not looking. They haven't even talked about me. This was a mistake. Do they think I'm pooping? The small roommate just walked into his room where I'm hiding and grabbed his balloon, saying, "Hi, balloons, I'm glad you're here." Balloons mean more to this family than I do. I should have grabbed a bottle of whiskey before hiding. This is getting dark, man. Then he says, no caption needed. I guess his wife goes, "Are you going to come out?" "No, you guys apparently hate me, so I'm never coming out." And she does the little shrug sign. "Well, we may not like you, but we are hungry," is the response from the wife of this one. The small roommate is finally looking for me. He must be starving. "Are you hiding?" Yes, I've been hiding for 20 expletive minutes.
Yeah.
I just thought you were pooping. It was the next name. The small roommate just took a break from looking to me so he could poop. They finally found me. Goes on and on and on and on and on. But yes, do you have potentially, though, psychological issues that you want to hide from them just to see what happens? Like, something in your mind's got to go, I'm just curious here. Where this thing goes.
I guess. I'm not sure anyone in my family would even notice.
How long would it take? Plus, too, you're kind of on the phone and roaming around all the time.
Yeah.
So, barring some clue.
They would think I was just in here working.
Or even running.
Or running, or on the Peloton. Or
it would be half an hour before they'd even send you a text.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Kind of like him. Like, at some point, dinner, like, needing something.
Yeah.
It's more of how you affect them to some extent.
Oh, there's no question what you do for them. Yeah, exactly. There's no doubt. It's not genuine concern.
If they're fully fed and entertained at the moment, whatever. He'll be back when he's back.
So you'll love this one. So
yep.
You're not quite to the standardized test portion of your life with the.
No, we are currently trying to differentiate numbers. Right now, every number when we count is just two.
Well, you will discover that when your child enrolls in the Oxford Public Schools, or any schools, that starting in about, September, the focus shifts. I'm being hyperbolic. The focus shifts to the state test.
I'm aware, yeah. Okay.
Well, this morning, Carson takes the state science test, I think.
Maybe already at science. 9, 10 years old.
He's 11.
He's 11.
He's okay. 11. He's taking, he's in fifth grade. So they sent an envelope home with a card asking us to write something that he will open and read just before he takes the test. Yes, yes. So Laura's like, you got to write something on there. And I'm like, no, I don't. This is stupid. And she says, you have to write something. And I said, okay, I'm going to write, hey, don't sweat it. This doesn't matter.
Is that what you wrote?
No. She said, well, you can't write that. I said,
why can't you?
I don't know. That's what I said. I said, why not? And she said, just write something positive. And I went, okay, I'll write, hey, just think this is good practice for the ACT. You can't write that either. And so you have to write something. I'm not participating.
What do they want you to write?
I guess, hey, real proud of you, love you, go get them, rock them, sock them, show them you're a tiger. I don't know. Do your best. Hey, look, man, if the kids aren't ready for the test, it's on you, school system.
I'm a little surprised they're not, like, handing out participation trophies when you get done with the test. Like, you walk through the bag and get your blue ribbon for taking it.
Oh, I don't doubt that there are prizes at the end of this deal for everybody. Hey, thanks for focusing in. The pressure that is that is put on these tests is ridiculous.
You say that on one hand, while on the other side saying the ACT is all that matters.
Well, the ACT does matter. I've experienced that already this week. There's a difference from 28 to 30, night and day.
Telling you, you're going to be pro Common Core in a year.
You've known me for a long time. I'm able to acknowledge things for what they are.
You adapt.
And I've realized that all that crap about having a well-rounded kid and stuff for colleges, they don't care.
You still would like to have a well-rounded kid.
Yeah, but if you offer a college a well-rounded kid with a 27 or a kid who with
a nut job with a 32,
they're taking the 32 because it helps their average. They like to promote themselves, like in U.S. News and World Report, with our freshman class has an average ACT of 37.
Yeah.
And I know this is a 36. I realize I'm being sarcastic. They don't want to say, hey, our freshman class has an average ACT of like 22. But you know what? There's some really fun kids in this group. You've read that in USA Today? Nope. U.S. World News Report? No, you don't read that. You read, our freshman class has an average ACT of 28, and that makes us number six or
you
whatever.
You always think you can raise a point or two. So what score would be needed for you to never recommend for your kid to take it again after the first time?
After the first time?
Yeah.
36.
They literally had to be perfect.
Yeah.
I had a relative that took it like four times and made a 35 all four times.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that means you're just missing a handful.
Yeah. Might have been, not been four, but multiple times 30. I think like her mother made a 36, so she was like,
yeah. Well, you have nothing to lose once. That's what I keep telling Campbell is now.
That doesn't go away.
No, no. You've got your score. That's yours. You own that. That is yours.
You could make an 11 and it wouldn't
absolutely
matter.
Absolutely. So go for it. Why not? Why not take it again?
Yeah.
The only thing you have to lose is the entry fee.
That's fair.
And I'll pay that. So all you have to lose as a kid is 4 hours of your time on a Saturday morning.
Let's go talk to Jeffrey now on this here podcast. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel. Some of you have been using him for the completely free service that is booking Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, and anything else related to your vacations. An expert in getting out of lines and onto more rides, no matter the crowds. You get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation. And contact him now for a free, no-obligation quote at brandon@keystodreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687. Also, remember, there is an exclusive dining deal that he is promoting right now. It's only good between August and December, but a lot of people go ahead and get in there now. It is a free dining promotion that is extremely limited, so give him a call now.
If you're heading up this fall for football, for Ole Miss football, tailgating in the Grove, whether you're tailgating every game, just the SEC games, just a couple of games, maybe just one game, whatever, 7 South Tailgating can take care of your needs, however basic or complex they may be. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South Tailgating once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South Tailgating will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one can match their customer service and attention to detail. Get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the gang there at 7 South Tailgating at 7southtailgating.com. You'll hear from John McCann on tomorrow's podcast, his band, the Moonlight Grahams. They play Saturday night, World Music Nashville, 7 p.m. You can catch their album on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, that kind of thing. Get tickets to the show at ticketzone.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com. Or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Now to the Billy's Pecans Hotline. And Jeffrey Wright here on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Good morning, Jeffrey. One of your favorite days of the year, the NFL draft kicking off tonight with the first round. Before you said hello, you were already telling me that there are reports about Baker Mayfield going one to the Browns, which is probably your worst nightmare. We're going to get there in a second, but I promised the people I would get your take on this. I got Neil's take the other day. I don't think you know where I'm going, unless you were listening to the podcast. I know there was a guy last year that it worked out for. Are we questioning Josh Allen even more because it appears he's maybe outfitting himself in JCPenney for the draft tonight?
Ooh. If you're Josh Allen, though, like, that's your brand, right? Isn't your brand no-nonsense? Isn't your brand, like, no-nonsense cookie cutter, I just love football?
What is it they do? Like, is it Stafford? Is that their brand of suit?
I hope you're sitting down for this. I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay.
And I wish I did, but I do not. I've taste. If you're Josh Allen, that's your brand. Your brand is
Stafford and Jay Ferrer.
There you go.
Of course.
But, I mean, go with Joseph A. Bank then, right?
Listen to this, y'all. You can get a Stafford travel stretch classic suit at JCPenney for $105. You can get a Stafford travel sharkskin suit for $41.99. Why would anyone buy a suit for $42? There's not a chance in hell that's going to look. I mean, there's no chance it's even going to look passable.
Well, when I can go to Joseph A. Bank and get three actually sort of tailored for what, $500?
Yeah, you're going to end up spending more than that.
Collection but. Joseph A. Bank is there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Okay, there you go.
Just go, yeah, like it for you know, as my buddy that used to work at BB&T said, it works for their CEO. That's what he wears every single day, so it's good enough for me.
Who are the psychopaths that don't wait for the sales that happen like every 4 weeks and actually buys retail full price at Joseph A. Bank?
I have no idea, but if you are, like, you really need to reevaluate. Because
their prices are sort of stupid expensive when they don't have the sale going
on.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, the trousers are like $189 or something, but you just wait like a week and they'll give you nine pairs for the price of one.
Legitimate question. Is there a time at Joseph A. Bank now that there isn't a sale going on?
Yeah, I think they changed the amount of sale. It's 3-for-1 suit or 4-for-1 suit or like 8 sport coats for a dollar or something.
Yeah, like I think everything's technically always on sale at Joseph A. Bank. It's just a matter of did you get a better sell.
So you're going with this is okay for Josh Allen. You're cool with your quarterback wearing JCPenney.
Oh, no, I said I'm cool with Josh Allen wearing it.
Okay,
gotcha. I'm not cool with my quarterback.
And he makes a point, Josh Allen's brand, which has been devastated today by tweets that he made when he was 4. Josh Allen's brand is, hey, I just show up and play football.
I got to open up my computer. Wait, what? Really?
You haven't seen this?
These like Dante DiVincenzo type tweets?
No, yeah, we'll get there in a second.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second. It is so – I really – except for the fact that Yahoo wrote the story, and now's not the time to take up a war with Yahoo.
Yeah, but did Oath write the story?
It's a good question, because I might have signed some documents yesterday that are still under review. Otherwise, I would point out the sheer lunacy of the story that we'll talk about in a second.
So, yeah, as long as Baker is not wearing JCPenney, you're cool.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a completely different...
Now, Deshaun Watson apparently did similar last year.
How'd that work out? He tore his ACL.
Oh.
It's a very good point.
Thank you,
cheap
Jeffrey.
Cheap suit, cheap knee.
Okay.
I mean, the other question, though, I have is, is this a situation like where Adam Levine of Maroon 5 used to say that he played like some $200 guitar because they were paying him millions of dollars and then... all they did was just slap the logo on it, like, you know, with Tiger Woods playing Mirror Irons, but they had a Nike swoosh slapped on him. Like, is this a guy that's getting paid to say he's wearing JCPenney? Because that's also another question.
Well, that's absolutely what's happening. I mean, duh. But
how do you know that? How do you know he's not wearing a JCPenney suit?
But they're still paying him to wear a JCPenney suit.
We will know tonight. We'll know pretty quickly.
You're saying you can pick out the difference in JCPenney and Armani when he walks up on the stage?
I can't probably tell the difference between on TV between like a well-tailored like mid-range suit and then a well-tailored high-end suit just if like they all look the same, but I can usually pick out the cheap suit.
The NFL draft might be the place where the first ever Stafford suit is actually custom fitted to someone.
Yeah, and that's where it's disingenuous.
Because you're just buying off the rack at the penny.
I don't think there's free tailoring at JCPenney.
No, you'd have to take it to a tailor then after that.
A really good tailor and drop some coin.
I think that would be the rare example where the tailoring might cost more than the actual purchase.
Jeffrey, are you like me? I can't buy, and not even suits, I can't buy any pants off the rack whatsoever. I'm too short.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have that problem that most people don't have. Neil, you can just buy off the rack, can't you?
No.
Really?
Well, with pants sometimes, like dress shirts and stuff, no, not really, because my arms are short and my torso's longer and stuff.
See, I have a very small lower half where if...
That's what she said.
Yes. If my like chest and torso was the same proportion, I'd literally be like 5'2". So
I have that weird thing where my legs are like normal-sized human beings, but my torso is not too.
Okay.
So... but it may, I don't know. It's Neil's right though. A sneaky, annoying thing to have to get tailored is dress shirts.
Yeah.
I've found a couple places I don't have to do that. Dress shirts, I can actually buy a couple places and just get a size that's okay. But anyway,
Peter.
Well, yeah, those are a little tougher. Their shorts sometimes fit depending on the cut, by the way.
Huh.
Yeah, just saying. Anyway, yeah, Neil, help my buddy Jeffrey here with what Josh Allen is dealing with this morning.
So let me see if I can find this now, because Josh,
I've got it in front of me, and you're right.
Josh Allen, some offensive tweets. This, according to our my colleagues at Yahoo.
Hang on, Sports Illustrated wrote this too, so we could.
So can we rip them?
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
Ryan Young has the byline.
Ryan Young of Yahoo Sports, who I'm sure is a wonderful guy, and he and I are oath buddies. He writes, "Be warned, some of the language used below may be offensive. Allen has tweeted the N-word multiple times. June the 14th of 2012, which is 6 years ago, Allen tweeted at, I'm not sure who this person he was tweeting at was, I don't think you, he uses, how do I do this? N-I-G-G-A-S.
Okay. I mean, yeah, he uses the colloquial.
The colloquial, and it's not a state, it's not a, when you.
He appears to be talking to some buddies.
Thank you. He's talking to friends. He's not insulting or attempting to insult using that word the way that it is used
in
that
context. And he was what at this point, 16 years old, probably?
If he's 22 now, then yeah, he was 16. A year later, when he was 17, he says, N-words trying to get at me, Doe, something about stay scheming. I would be concerned about my quarterback because he's talking in this slang thing. I want my quarterback locked in.
Didn't they also include a LeBron tweet in the offensive tweet?
Yeah, we're getting to that. We're getting to
hate
that.
Hate LeBron. Hashtag LeBron sucks.
Wow. I would not draft him if I was an NFL GM over that one.
June
7th,
2011.
2011? Yeah.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
I was getting drunk late at night at France that time.
He did not have a driver's license yet.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
He does have a page where he something says, if it ain't white, it ain't right.
Eh.
Not smart tweets on his part. That being said, are we really going to hold a 15-year-old accountable?
Hold on. This is that I take that one to mean he's pale. He's pasty.
Did you?
Yeah.
And you could be right. Yeah, because someone asked him, why are you so white?
Yeah, that's why I hate these people. Like, the people that write these stories, like, just go kill yourself. Seriously. Like, I don't know. Like,
well, and look, now, an NFL GM is not holding that against him. It's not changing his draft status tonight. Come on.
I will say, I don't think I've ever used the word. So I do, like, when people go, I don't hold it against them, I actually do kind of hold it against them. And maybe it's because I grew up in the South in a very racially charged city, but I've never even thought of using the word.
No, I don't either. You can't.
So, and like I said, maybe it's just because it's been ingrained in me. And
where'd he grow up? Where's he from?
He's from South Dakota, right? Isn't he, like,
is he from,
doesn't he have, like, the same pedigree as
Carson Woods?
Yeah.
Okay. Just curious. Don't know.
I think, let me double check.
It's fine. It's not changing the night for him. It's not. It's the same.
Unfortunately, his completion percentage is why he's falling in the draft. It has nothing to do with what he tweeted.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
So you think Cleveland's, you and I talked about this on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden earlier in the week. Always be selling. You think Baker Mayfield goes one?
Adam Schefter is reporting that he believes at this point, or at least that the league is operating under the assumption that Baker Mayfield is going one.
Wow. That's dice rolling. It is. Cause I think Mayfield has high ceiling and I don't know about his floor.
took a break in our talk with Jeffrey to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing, and ask about the flow down option. So you lock in your current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, there's no reason to go anywhere but Grenada Nissan's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Get in touch with Gene and Sandy Grass. Tell them that you heard about it on the podcast. You heard about it at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades, and no one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. HarryAlexander.com. Send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. And the podcast is brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience. More than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Robert Gambrell. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Now back to the Billy's Pecans Hotline and Jeffrey Wright on the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
Sorry, Josh Allen's from around Fresno, the suburbs of Fresno. Fireball, California.
I give him a pass on everything if he had to grow up in that hellhole.
You really hated Fresno.
It was awful.
Where'd you eat? Outback?
Yeah, it's not great.
Did you find
Outback? That's the joke. It's Fresno.
I went to Chili's because I could walk to it from my hotel, and then Kellenberger and I found this brew pub after the game that actually wasn't all that bad.
I mean, there's enough people up there that you could probably find something decent, but yeah, no. I'm also, in fairness to Josh Allen, Fresno is not San Francisco and not Santa Monica, California.
Yeah, it's not Tiburon. I mean, I suspect that it was a little hard scrabble in Fresno.
Yeah.
This is your road trip equivalent of Jeffrey making fun of me for asking for steakhouses in Long Beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could walk to the Chili's. By the time I got to the Chili's, I was really nervous about the walk back.
It was getting a little worse as you kept going.
There were some moments when I was like, okay, what colors do I have on?
Really?
Yep.
What are you looking for tonight? What's the viewing guide, if you will, for the draft?
Well, I'll probably go NFL Network. I like Mayock better than I like anyone really on ESPN.
All good there.
So I'll probably go NFL Network. I guess for me the biggest deal is I've been screaming about Baker Mayfield should be the first quarterback taken, and now I'm in this weird spot where it might happen, and I don't know what to do with myself.
Like, well, you can't back away now.
But he's playing for Cleveland.
Right. And more importantly, like, I'm not used to being screaming that I'm right and then actually being right.
But Cleveland believes, essentially, that you're right. They believe that this guy is different both the way that he carries himself, the way that he impacts other people, and with his arm. Cleveland believes what you've been saying for 2 years.
I know. That's the weird thing. I'm used to basically just being like the insane person that's yelling at the clouds. Now it turns out like, okay, I was right. But
I think you've got to go all in on the Browns now as with your fandom. I do, because you found, if they do this, you have found a franchise that essentially said, if they say this tonight at 7-ish, they are essentially saying Jeffrey Wright has been right for about 3 years.
Why couldn't it be John Elway? Why couldn't this be the Broncos? Like, why?
No, you don't get to choose your parents. You don't. There are things you don't get to choose. Cleveland has decided to endorse you And I don't see...
Have you seen the list of quarterbacks the Browns have endorsed for the last 10, 12 years?
I understand this, but this is about Jeffrey at this point. This is not about
Who's the
Cleveland.
Last Browns quarterback that was drafted in the first round? Brandon Whedon?
When did Kosar get drafted?
Tim Couch.
Well, the Brandon Whedon was Couch.
Couch.
It's Whedon. It's
Tim
Whedon.
Couch. Tim Couch was like 1999 or 2000.
Yeah, it's Whedon, I guess.
I feel like Tim Couch would have been okay, but didn't he get hurt a bunch?
Neil?
I can't remember. Okay. He was all right.
What do you got against Tim Couch?
Nothing, but he was a Hal Mummy quarterback that ran one of those dumb systems that nobody in the NFL runs.
You don't like system quarterbacks?
Not particularly.
Okay.
I like quarterbacks who can play quarterback.
I think Dylan's a little nervous today because Mike Mayock had Josh Rosen falling all the way to the Cardinals about halfway through the first round, and he gets Rosen in his division potentially.
Some rumbles about his health.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I told you this on the Beer Garden, and I stand by it. If the concerns and the reason why Josh Rosen is falling is concussion and shoulder related, I don't argue with that. Like, if that's what your concern is, I get it. If you're gonna take a quarterback this high, like, you're going to play him, and if he is physically inferior from a health perspective to these other guys, like, I get it. But man, wouldn't you rather roll the dice on that than roll the dice on Josh Allen, a guy that physically, when healthy, still can't complete passes?
Yes. Allen scares me, man.
Dan Orlovsky made a really good point. He broke down the quarterbacks in the Players Tribune, and he just straight up said, I've never met the kid. I have nothing personally against the kid. They asked me to break down what I thought of these guys, and I do not get Josh Allen. It's like, because he's big and can throw the ball a long ways. Like, I presume Bradley Chubb, who is a big guy, I bet if you got him out on a football field, I bet he could throw a football a long way. Like, you know, the Vince Wilfork, you know, when everyone loves to see Vince Wilfork go out and sling it, like, he can throw it a really long way. But, like, that's not playing quarterback. When it comes to the actual position of quarterback, Josh Allen sucks.
So let's go back to your night. Your night is going to be started with – you're going to be all conflicted with your boy Baker going number one. Once that conflicted feeling passes for a moment and the commissioner says the New York Giants are on the clock, what do the Giants do at two when the only guy off the board is Baker Mayfield?
Well, now it's put up or shut up time for the Giants, because the Giants have been screaming all along that the only quarterback they believe that's worth taking in the draft is Sam Darnold. Which, that would be perfect for me. That would be a nice kick in the nuts right to start off my night. The quarterback who has zero instincts and really is about as overrated of a quarterback prospect that I've ever seen. That's who I wind up having to be with for the next two decades.
But if
the Browns take Baker, though, hold on.
Yeah.
What do you want the Giants to do? Because you don't want them taking Barkley, and Rosen potentially has no shoulder.
If they're sitting there with Sam Darnold at two, there's enough dumb people in the NFL that think Sam Darnold's the best quarterback prospect in the last decade.
So trade now.
Okay. Well, hey, help me a minute. Are you married to the Giants? I mean, just break up, right?
No, I'm married at this point. We've got
who
we've
dumps
got
the Giants for the Browns?
Baker Mayfield. The Browns are literally Chase.
I'll just do what I did with Johnny Football. I'll root for the offense to score. Like, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, but that was different.
Not really.
No, it was not different. You were not in College Station that night, Neil.
That's a good point. But it's a little different because for two years,
Johnny Football was the John the Baptist for my quarterbacks, where without Johnny Football, there can be no Baker Mayfield. I needed Johnny Football to show me the way, and then he paved the way for me.
It is my favorite Jeffrey thing is when he works in his Church of Christ education into the podcast just with random thoughts here and there. It is my favorite part of Jeffrey in the podcast.
Bible study with Jeffrey Wright.
Hey, I've read it twice.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we've ever talked about this podcast. Jeffrey, for some reason, visited our church one day, went to Sunday school, and the guy's like asking all the questions. Jeffrey just rattling it off. I'm looking over like, what the hell is going on? He's just, here we go. It's like, all right.
My church, Christ education. I'm Presbyterian. Come on, man. Don't paint me with that ugly brush.
Oh my God. Anyway. The Cleveland Browns are essentially endorsing Jeffrey Wright. You have been, in fairness to you, you were the very first person I ever heard, and there might have been some people in Norman, Oklahoma, but they'll say it about everybody that ever plays quarterback there, so they don't count. You were the very first person I ever heard, maybe as early as 2.5 years ago, that said this guy's a star. He's the first pick of the draft. He's the best quarterback in the draft. Blah blah blah. A lot of people spent the next 2 years basically saying, no, you're wrong. It's Rosen. It's Darnold. It's maybe it's Allen. Maybe it's Lamar Jackson. Maybe it's all these people. And you consistently said, no, it's Mayfield. And now the Browns are going to say, Jeffrey Wright is right, and we're rolling with Baker Mayfield, and you're going to stay with the Giants when they take the Giants appear to be, if they're right, they're going to take the one guy that you for the past 2 years have said sucks.
Neil wants to break up with like the old money 9 for a 4 because she got a Tesla from her grandmother's inheritance.
Yeah, no, she's not even a 4.
He believes Baker's a 13.
Right, but like I can still see her behind the Giants' back. Like, I just don't have to commit. Like, I'm not getting married.
But you just said you're married to the Giants. I'm so confused.
I did the smart thing where I didn't sign anything.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
No, I can't just break up for one player. Like,
yeah.
And that's the other perfect thing about the Giants. Like, they do so much that drives me insane, and I just can't break up with them. Like, they, you know, we pick amazing fights in public. Like, it's just all the drama. It's all the wrong things that just keep me coming back. That's why I love them.
So you think they take Darnold and Darnold sits for a year behind Eli? Which, Chase, weigh in on this. I don't believe that when you have a top 5 pick, you can sit that pick for a year. I think dude's got to step in and play. I mean, the Bears took Trubisky, and I know they waited a week or two, but he basically played his rookie year.
What's the use in playing a dude with no offensive line that's going to get the crap kicked out of him in the first year?
Got to learn how to play.
Not behind a line. You saw what it did to Carr in Houston.
I think that's always thought that's a outlier. That's an expansion team. Like, I don't know, man. I think that almost in every other case when the kid plays, it's better for him.
If the team sucks.
Yeah, just play.
Peyton Manning played. Troy Aikman played.
My point being, if you're competitive, you don't waste the season by playing him. There are windows. If your window is at all open, you do not play.
But he's got right. You got to get the rookie mistakes out of the way. You got to let him start learning how to play.
Sacrifice a season and potentially in a window.
The Giants aren't in a window.
No, I'm just saying in general.
Well, no, but in general, teams in a window don't draft a quarterback in the top 5 picks of the draft.
Okay. Yeah,
teams in a window aren't drafting 2 because they earned the second pick.
My favorite thing every draft night, kind of last thing here, and I got to go, is who the Falcons take to figure out who I can hate. They're taking potentially a defensive tackle from Florida. It's hard to hate a defensive tackle. I can't find anything here. Like last year, I at least got like the dude with the grandmother in the picture thing. I get nothing this time.
What's going on with Julio? Have y'all seen this? Like he's like
he took
scrub.
Yeah, he scrubbed social media.
Yeah, like well, no, he scrubbed like the like any remnants of the Falcons
right.
From social media.
Just a ploy, right?
I hope it's a negotiating tactic.
That's what I'm saying. I think it is.
Which would be great. That's where we are in the world today. That you literally one of your negotiating tactics is on a social media account. You take down pictures.
Literally
the same thing you're supposed to do like before job interviews. Because you don't need them seeing how hammered you were in Switzerland in 2008 or 2008.
Saints potentially taking a wide receiver in the first round. That'll do it. That's what we need, wide receiver. So,
Got to beef up that offense.
Yeah, I know. That's the issue. All right, enjoy your night, Jeffrey. Talk to you soon. Thanks to Jeffrey for joining us today. Also, I can tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773 is the phone number. MasterCutsLawn.com to get an annual contract in place. Let them take care of your yard all year long. And when you do that, you get free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks. Or you also can get a pressure washing job of more than 2,000 square feet. $50 off for that. MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773.
Jeffrey Wright and all other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Let Billy's Pecans handle all of your corporate gifting. I know a lot of you have done that. We really appreciate it. And so does Billy's Pecans. They know the perfect crunch for every palate. Whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral, from 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans will handle it all with expertise and excellence and all with their signature Southern style. With items at every price point, you simply can't choose wrong. You can get the assorted gift bags. You can get the party trio. Pick your favorite pecan treats. I've got several. I like just the salted ones. They're all great. If you want some chocolate on your pecans, you can do that as well. Incredible. They'll customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes so your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. Billy'sPecans.com, 1-800-624-7404. And the podcast is brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, that kind of thing, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, or they're in Holly Springs at 662-252-2321. They deliver wherever you are, so go to the website, go to the app. Each are very usable. Also, call them, give them your doctor's name, get prescriptions ready, and get them to you. They're also now in Oxford as well with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, and they deliver local in the Oxford area. So TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321. Baseball America today coming out with good internet fodder, if nothing else. The 10 top college ballparks in the country. Good. On this list, they have number one, Baum Stadium in Arkansas.
It is cool.
It is a great park. It is not a great atmosphere. Right. It feels like a double-A atmosphere is what it feels like.
And it does.
It's not really a negative. It's just different.
No, it is. It's different. It feels more like a professional, like a minor league. It feels like a very well-run minor league baseball team.
Yeah. Great atmosphere, great fans, but just something. I don't know what that something is, but there's something
kind
of missing.
Hard to explain it.
Yeah, Alex Box at number two. Frankly, I think the new Alex Box is a little overrated. It looks kind of unfinished.
I don't like it.
Yeah, things underneath are great. Like, player amenities are fantastic and top of the line.
Yeah.
Something there, I don't, whatever. Duty Noble at number three, it's going to be high on all these lists. No matter what, they're in the middle of a $55 million renovation. TD Ameritrade Park, given to Creighton, is a bit of a leap, but sure, whatever. Yeah, come on, guys. Come on. I can't even get through this sentence. Really? All right.
Give me an effing break.
Okay. What? Creighton just needed a park. It just happens to, you know, seat 28,000. Husky ballpark.
It's a nice ballpark, but it's not a college ballpark.
Well, no.
I mean, that'd be like giving Boston College Fenway.
Husky Ballpark in Washington, I assume it's very nice. It's set on Lake Washington.
I've heard it's really cool, the setting.
Bochimer in North Carolina, no idea. Bluebell Park at A&M is nice.
I'm told it's really nice.
Coastal Carolina, I have no idea.
Really?
No idea. Pepperdine, look, it's sitting on a mountain on the Pacific Ocean. It's in a great location. Now the stadium is not nice. Come on. Let's put some.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're just sitting there in the ballpark.
Oh, dude, it is.
And you're just looking out at the ocean, eating some peanuts. That's pretty nice.
Number 10, Founders Park in South Carolina. They've done a nice job since they tore down Sarge Fry or whatever they've done and built this. Here's where this thing gets kind of funny, is they also have a top five historic college parks.
Okay.
And to make sure they get named stadiums in this, I think we just made up a category no matter what the situation is, because Swayze Field tops the list of top five historic parks. Swayze Field was built in 1988 and completely remodeled in 2009. Duty Noble was built in 1967. I'm really confused, but nonetheless, that is number one. Dish Falk in Texas, number two. Sunken Diamond in Sanford. Yale Field at Yale, fine, whatever, at number four. And then Blair Field at Long Beach State, meaning you really are putting a lot into just a place being around a while, because I was there a few weeks ago. Okay, but anyway, that's your list from Baseball America. Just stumbled across it. Thought I would agitate people for a minute here on.
Oh, there'll be people that will get worked up about it.
Think so?
Oh, yes.
Maybe.
Swayze's really nice. You don't need a list to tell you that Swayze's nice. You know it's nice. When you walk in, it's nice. It looks really nice. It's very nice. It's a great atmosphere. They've done a great job with it. If a list doesn't validate you, you still know it's good.
It's one of the better atmospheres for sure. It's one of the best stadiums too, but I mean if I was listing stadiums and atmospheres, I would rank it atmospherically higher than stadium-wise, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I had two separate lists.
Sure.
It's high on both, but, you know, I mean, if you just put blueprints down, Baum's a nicer stadium.
Agreed.
Carolina's a nicer stadium.
Agreed.
A&M, maybe it's different, but okay, it's fine.
I've not seen it. I'm told it's excellent from a stadium.
The problem
standpoint
that you have in these rankings is that you've got about 5 to 10 super stadiums in the country with these we're talking about, and, you know, LSU, mostly in the SEC,
of course,
lack of a better
where people are putting money into it.
Yeah, I mean, comparing that to a 3,000-seat stadium at Clemson is really impossible. It's three times its size. I mean,
right.
I don't know. You know, Ole Miss has done a great job of giving something for everyone. You've given the old people, no offense, and I really didn't mean that as derogatorily as it sounds, but, you know, the Diamond Club, where you're not cold in February games, you go get to sit inside, you have a great view.
Sure.
You get the new Field Club level thing for people that want to be down there and go in and get hot dogs and chicken fingers and whatever. Again, I don't mean that derogatorily. I'm just saying.
Well, no, but you have the people that actually like baseball, and they sit down there, and then you have the people that – how do I say this?
Now, the Diamond Club is actually a better seat because you can sit inside and still see the game. You got to remember, in the Field Club level, you can't see the game from inside.
But there's a certain status thingy. I'm in the Diamond Club at the game. I've seen it. I've heard it.
Okay.
I know it's there.
All right.
And then you have the students. They have fun out in right field, and you have the families that have fun out in left field.
It's very sectioned off for everybody.
Yeah, everyone has their place.
And the dude that just wants to sit in section B on the line and watch baseball.
He can do that too, yes. And it's a beautiful setting. They've done a great job with it.
It's freezing cold until mid-April, but otherwise,
for whatever reason, the two coldest places in Oxford are FNC Park and Swayze Field. And I don't know why. Like ice. And anybody who's going to at me about that, no, I'm right and you're wrong.
It's one of my favorite February things is when the new beat writers for the DM and everybody come out. And
shorts.
Yeah, they're in shorts and t-shirts. I go, yeah, you hadn't been here before, have you? And they're like, no, it's 80. I said, okay.
Mike's going to talk to them for 17 minutes at the end of this game, and it's going to feel like 3 hours. You're not going to be able to type for a month, dumbass, because it's ice down there.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know how, like, the left fielder, I always feel so sorry for, like, the left fielder in one of those February games, because he's just standing out there dying. Because that's where the meeting's going to be, too. And then he has to go back out there for another 20 minutes after the game. He gets into the locker room and just, like, someone find me a hot shower, the hottest shower humanly possible.
You'd have to contemplate wearing one of those hand warmers or putting hot hands in it, wouldn't you?
Oh, I absolutely would do that. Because when your hands get cold, you're miserable. Well, hands, feet, head.
The rain should get out of here before game time tonight. I think it's pretty much gone by the middle of the day today, judging by all forecasts. So I think we're good tonight. And definitely good the rest of the series. So,
who wins? Who wins and how many do they get? I'm going to go ahead and tell you Ole Miss gets 2 out of 3.
I think that's what I'd pick. Nobody's sweeping. I just don't believe that. I think Ole Miss 2 out of 3. I think Rollison is potentially set for a big finish. He's better than Hess. Olenek is a big loss, but it's manageable because he's not a premium defender at a position, if that makes sense. You can, you get one or two hits out of another dude, and that's sort of okay, fine, it's all whatever. And it's not like replacing your catcher or your shortstop where you go, hey, what's going on defensively? What's this going to look like? I mean, you would hope multiple people on the team can play right field.
So yeah.
It's.
When does Singer versus Mize? Is that tonight?
Is Florida and Auburn tonight? Is that?
I think.
Then it would be tonight, yeah.
Time out. Don't look at me for a college baseball question.
Auburn is at number one Florida tonight at 7 o'clock.
How many radar guns, over under 16, how many, 16 and a half, how many radar guns are right behind home plate tonight?
30. Every team will have a radar gun behind home plate tonight.
It's going to be a zoo.
God, in that park, too, that kind of sucks.
There's no room?
No.
Everybody there.
Singer and Mize.
I mean, if you're a bartender in Gainesville,
okay,
Florida
no,
tonight.
No, in all seriousness, over or under 5 GMs in attendance tonight?
Over.
Over 5 GMs in attendance.
Teams at the top of that draft. Oh yeah, you're watching
the GMs there.
Yeah, I want to. If I'm
the dude for the Phillies is in the house tonight.
If I'm a GM with the top 5 pick, I'm there tonight. Yes, because I want to see what he does against. What does he do in this environment where I know that Mize and Singer won't technically face one another, but let's keep this real. They're facing each other.
They both know the score.
They know who the other guy is.
They won't have to be introduced before the game when they walk out.
One of the best minor league games I ever saw was the Bay Bears and the West 10 Diamondjacks.
Yeah.
Jake Peavy.
Okay.
Mark Pryor.
Ooh.
When they were both top 5 prospects.
Packed house.
Place was packed. It was a matinee, and it was packed. And both dudes knew exactly who they were facing. 2-1 game. It was as good of a minor league game as you'll ever see.
It was a year early for Drew, but one of my favorite pitcher environments, and the game turned to hell because it was really windy, was Pomeranz versus Renato for LSU a few years ago, 2009. But the score ended up being like 18-15 because the wind was blowing out 70 miles an hour.
So you popped up a ball and it.
Oh, I mean, seriously, a shallow pop was getting out of the park. Like at one point, I think Mike screamed out the dugout at Drew, and Drew just looked up at the sky, pointed, and went, just kind of shrugged his shoulders, like, what do you mean to do? It's like,
I love Pomeranz. Drew was the one that went, hey, shut up, little man.
Yeah.
You come pitch.
Oh, gosh. Your weekend series as we close, though, is Auburn at Florida, as Neil mentioned, Tennessee at Georgia. I'll snooze through that one. LSU at Ole Miss, Alabama at Arkansas. Good time for the Razorbacks to get healthy after a rough weekend in Starkville. Missouri at Kentucky. Sneaky series there with some implications, honestly. Missouri's in the field as of right now.
Guy's done a really good job there.
He has, yeah. He came from the in-state school, Missouri State,
yeah.
And has done a nice job. South Carolina at Vanderbilt. It's a sneaky good series.
Yeah.
And then if you want to watch one to see where things are headed, in Starkville, the Aggies are in town. 8-10 State, 9-9 Aggies in Starkville this weekend. So,
what's a big series for State?
Huge.
Goodness gracious.
RPI is up to 35.
Oh, they could put themselves into the field real with position. A big weekend.
LSU currently one of the last 5 in. They're actually bubble in when – they'd be bubble out if it wasn't LSU across the front of their jersey.
Sure.
But they're bubble in currently.
So, as it stands, 11 SEC teams make the tournament?
11 would get in as of today.
Wow.
Yeah, everyone right now except for Tennessee, Alabama, and someone else. I guess State would be the other team out right
State
now.
State could change that this weekend.
Am I right there? I think I'm right. Hold on. Real quick. We got time.
Alabama's out. Tennessee's out. and somebody.
Those are for sure.
Yeah.
Here, let me look at RPIs real quick. Conferences, SEC, standings. RPIs as of right now, Florida 2, Georgia 5, Vanderbilt 25. Actually, South Carolina might be the out right now. Yeah, South Carolina has a worse resume than State.
What's Ole Miss's RPI? About 7?
6.
6.
Ole Miss is 10-8 in the SEC, 32-10 overall, and 6 in the RPI.
When's the press conference?
Podcast tomorrow. Tomorrow you're getting Gabe DeArmond. Speaking of Missouri, we're going to talk some NCAA stuff with him. We're also getting Larry Holder.
Larry tomorrow. Holder. Already done these interviews. They are ready to roll. Because I'll delete
them between now and tomorrow. We're good.
Yeah, if you delete them, I will be upset at you.
Soft verbal later today. Plenty more podcasts. So appreciate all of you, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.